You know, the grass is dying and don't have to mow it anymore. Aren't you glad about that, Tom? Amen. Fall is a great time, yes. It's a harvest. Okay. I don't know what you said, John, but I know it was profound. Okay, well, Pastor asked me to share tonight, and there's going to be one more time that I'm going to be sharing before we move to Chattanooga officially, and so that's coming up. But one thing that I'll just mention, just so that everybody kind of knows it, my wife's going to be here tomorrow night at home back in good old Mexico, Missouri, looking very forward to seeing her after being apart for about a little over 3 weeks. And so anyway, looking forward to that. As I was thinking about the topic tonight, and as we've just been praying, the whole idea of prayer is going to be very central to what I'm going to be speaking about tonight. I know there's a lot of younger couples, younger people here in the congregation, people that haven't been married maybe as long as some of us have been married. Some of us have been married probably, let me think. Yeah, I've spent more years married than I have single now. So that's, I guess that's an accomplishment. And so anyway, there's been some truths that we've picked up. I'm going to just give maybe a couple of tips, that I think have been very, very helpful for my wife and I throughout our marriage life, and even more so as we've progressed in our relationship. And, you know, we've had marriage retreats here as a church. We've gotten together and done that, and that's always a profitable time. We've done that. We've had people speak on marriage. We've had marriage seminars here in the church where we've spent a number of weeks talking about marriage and did the Fireproof series. We've done that two or three times. All that's great. It's really great. And read books on marriage. You know, we packed up so many books for this move. And a lot of them had to do with marriage and the marriage relationship. But I'm just going to speak about a couple of things tonight that I think more than anything that I've learned have been beneficial to the marriage that I'm in. And the first one is you know, praying with my wife, praying with her every day. Usually we begin the day in prayer, and we end the day in prayer. And I would suggest that there's nothing better to do, no better resource to tap into than to pray with your spouse. The life that brings to your marriage. And guys, initiate that. Be the leader in that. You be the one that reaches across the bed or reaches across the table and says, hey, let's pray today. Let's pray tonight. Let's do this. And just pray. Pray about the things that matter to you. Pray for your spouse while she's sitting there. You know, Billy Sue and I, we had a habit of walking in the mornings, and we'd get up early and we'd go to Elmwood Cemetery and walk with all those other people that are walking around out there. And no, there's almost nobody there. Nobody's walking. Most of them are in the prone position out there. But anyway, it's peaceful and it's flat and no traffic. And we just have a great time of prayer. And during the 40 to 45 minutes that we walk, we'll spend 30 minutes in prayer. you know, just praying as we're walking. And boy, oh boy, you just feel like this is the way to start the day. This is the way to get off on the right foot. And what it does for your relationship, what it does for your relationship, it's unspeakable, really. I don't know how to describe it, but it engenders intimacy with your spouse. And I'm not talking about sexual. I'm just talking about heart-to-heart kind of things, spirit-to-spirit kind of intimacy. That's what happens when you pray with your spouse. So do that, okay? Do that. And maybe I'm not revealing any secrets here to anybody, but make a habit out of that, okay? If it's just something that you think, you know, every once in a while that you do or whatever it is, try to make that a daily habit to pray with your spouse. Just do that. Like I say, I can't think of anything that we've done during the course of our marriage that has helped it any more than prayer. Like I said, all the seminars are great, the retreats are great, all of that kind of stuff is good. Those are wonderful tools. But the time that you spend with your spouse in prayer is priceless. It just is. And so when you pray, what I've done here, I've compiled a list of scriptures, ways to pray. If you're a husband, these are scriptures that you can pray over your wife, okay? And yeah, you could use it. You use this as a cheat sheet if you want to. It's okay. It's okay. But there are certain things that I just pray for my wife all the time. The main thing that I pray for, I pray, Lord God, speak to my wife in such a way that she knows that it's you, so that she's not distracted by all the other voices that are trying to break through and get her attention. Speak to her. Help her to hear your voice in such a way that she knows that it's you that's speaking to her. And Lord, when she knows that it's you, help her to obey what you tell her to do. I pray that all the time for my wife, day after day after day. And I've got to say, you know, God honors that because my wife hears from God. She does. And she's usually pretty obedient to what the Lord tells her to do. So I pray that. That's one of the main things that I pray for her. And I pray, you know, God's peace rest upon her. I pray that she'll be strong spiritually and emotionally and physically and relationally, all of those areas. I want God's infusion. I want his strength to come into every area of her life. And it's kind of a selfish prayer because that benefits me when she's strong in those areas. Because, you know, there are times, believe it or not, that I'm weak and I need somebody that's strong sometimes. And thank goodness I've got a strong woman to help me during those times of weakness. So I pray. Those are the things I pray. Okay? And I touch on those things a lot. And so we pray together over our kids. We pray together over the church. You know, every day we pray for Pastor Ron and his family. Every day. Every day. Because the Lord, I mean, I'm telling you, he's on the prowl. He wants to take him out. He does. I mean, he's got our number too, you know, and he's looking for any sign of weakness that we might have to exploit. But you know that he's after the leader of a church that preaches the word of God. You know that he's a target. And he will try to just weasel his way in wherever he can to bring that man down, to hurt his family. And so please, you know, I'll just encourage you again. Please pray for him. Please pray for him. And so we pray, you know, Billy Sue and I, we pray for our pastor every day. We pray for other people that we know that are struggling with in various areas of their lives. We pray for them. And we let them know that we're praying for them. We do. We believe prayer makes a difference. Do you? I mean, it does. It makes a difference. We've seen miracles happen as a result of that. We know it works. We know it works. There's no explanation beyond the fact that God's going to do something, and he does. And then you say, we prayed. We prayed about that. Okay, so here, I'm not going to go through this list of scriptures with you that you can pray over your wife if you're a guy. It's only guys that are married to wives here, isn't it? Right? Thank God. So anyway, these I shouldn't have gone there. But anyway, but these are scriptures that you can pray over your wife. Okay? All right? The other, as you move through this, are scriptures you can, ladies, that you can pray over your husband. You can pray these over your future husband if you're single. Okay? I mean, one of the things we prayed about before our daughter Leanne was married, we prayed for a long time, you know, that God was going to send whoever it might be to woo her heart, you know, and end up being her husband. And God sent a godly young man for her. Praise God. Praise God. And so we know that God hears those kinds of prayers. Okay? So pray with your spouse. Pray with your spouse daily. Okay? And, there doesn't need to be any formula. There doesn't need, you don't need to go into hyper-spiritual mode to be able to say to have the right kind of tone or whatever you want to call it when you approach God to pray. I mean, talk to him, just like, kind of like I'm talking to you guys. Just talk to him the way that you talk, you know? You're not fooling God. Who is that other person? I thought, that's not you. Bring that guy out. That's who I want to hear from. All right? That's what we do. We pray. All right? The second thing, and this may not take too long tonight, maybe be a lot of time for reflection. But the second thing that we've endeavored to do, and this is something, you know, compare it to the prayer that we've done together, my wife and I, this is a more relatively recent development. And maybe you can relate to this. That as you're just going along day by day in your marriage, you know, and there's that one thing or that 10 things that just get under your skin about your spouse, whatever it is, you know, the toilet paper rolls, not over, you know, over the top. I mean, that's the way it's done, right? Okay, that's the way it's done in our house. But anyway, or the tube of toothpaste is squeezed in the middle, whatever, you know, those things that just get under your skin, whatever they might be, you know, and you might have a list of what they are. Maybe you've kept a list. I'm not a list maker. My wife is. She's a list maker. And so anyway, but what tends to come out of our mouth, because we've allowed those little prickly things to get under our skin, and then, you know, in an innocent, relatively innocent moment, blah, out comes this thing out of your mouth, and it hurts, you know? And we were going along, and that had happened every now and then, you know, and, I mean, it happens. And so I just, you know, it happened to me, it happened to her, and I just said, let's not do this anymore. You know, I know that there's times that I'll say something just because I'm irritated and I'll aim it at you, and you really don't deserve that. So as much as I can, I'm going to try to stop doing that. I'm just going to try. And if I do it, just tell me, hey, there it is again. You know, but I don't know what it is. Sometimes it's a one-upmanship, or what if it make me feel better by putting you down, kind of a thing. I don't know. Insecurity. What causes it? But it happens. It happens. It happened from time to time in our relationship. And I just decided we're not going to do this anymore. It's not bringing life to our relationship, you know. And before long, we never let it get this far, but, you know, some really bad stuff can happen that can come out of that kind of stuff. So watch what comes out of your mouth. I mean, we know the scriptures. We've had the Pastor Ron has given us the you know, multiple times the scriptures about, you know, the how bad our mouths can be and how much harm. I mean, it is a flaming fire, our tongue. You know, and we can bring curses into the person that we love the most. You know, and cut deeply with the words that we speak. And we don't have to do that. We just don't have to do that. Much better, much more preferable to speak blessing to your wife. That even that first breath that you get in the morning, that, you know, you just say, boy, I love you, you know. Whatever. But speak blessing to your wife. And if that thing, you feel it coming, just don't go there. Just take a moment and think of something else to say that's not going to hurt your spouse. Okay? And especially, folks, around other people. Especially around other people, because then we think we've got some sort of armor on, because nobody's going to say anything if I say what's on my heart in front of other folks. You know, what can she do? What can he do? You know, let me just give you permission to do this for me. If you hear me say something about my wife in front of you, you call me on it. Okay, Joe, will you do that? Yeah, do that. I don't want to be that guy. Okay? And you probably don't want to be that guy either, or that gal. Okay? So let's watch these two things. Pray with your wife. And watch what comes out of your mouth. I mean, the difference that makes in your relationship. It's amazing. It's amazing. And, you know, if you just build your marriage on those two things, you know, there'll be a heck of a lot of good stuff that'll grow as a result of that. Okay, I'm going to move to another area. But before I do, are there any thoughts, any questions? Any testimonies about any of that I've shared so far? Okay, we'll just move on. Anybody? Right. Okay, Patty.
We've been married almost 35 years, and the one thing about when one of you, which... say my husband says something to me that's cutting or whatever, it's so easy, because they make you hurt, then you want to make them hurt. And I mean, if you can just resist that, and, you know, I would like go in the other room. We were first married, it's a long time ago, but, you know, I became a Christian first, so I would go in another room and start praying, and, you know, just, okay, you know, walk away and go in the other room and start praying. And I mean, it worked. I mean, he, you know, he wasn't a Christian for the first 10 years. And I mean, that, but it's hard. I mean, but one of you's got to do it, you know, if it's, but yeah, if you can just resist that and just start praying instead of, you know, trying to make them feel bad. Because we have a saying at the prison, hurt people, and it's true. You know, when you're hurt, you want to hurt somebody else. You want them to feel like you're feeling. But you just got to realize God knows how you're feeling. And if you just direct all of that to God, I mean, things will happen. And yeah, it will really be a blessing to you.
Didn't Jeff do a great job a couple Sundays ago? I just love that message. That was a great job he did. Anybody else have a comment or a thought regarding what we've talked about so far, Danielle?
I definitely haven't perfected this, but as we're talking, what I'm going to say, I know you think by now, you know, almost 9 years, good grief, right? But remembering that our marriage is a reflection or supposed to be an example of Christ's relationship with the church. And so if we remember that we are supposed to, like, would we treat Christ that way? Not that that person is Jesus, but they're trying to be more like him. If we're trying to be more like Christ, would he be so quick to, even if they're doing something wrong, are you going to go with them in love? Or are you going to go with, well, you did it again? You know, we don't want Jesus to do that to us. So that's something that I know I need to work on too.
Anybody else? It's good. It's good to hear what you're thinking. Odd. Valentina.
You mentioned about that the man needs to have the initiative to pray, and growing up with a dad, he always prayed and he always was calling the whole family to pray. I want to encourage the dads to pray with their kids, because for almost 30 years, I thought my dad is perfect because of the way how mom was putting him in front of us. He really was like Sarah was doing for Abram. So one day I was saying, Dad, I wanna just like this to be everyone. And he said, I'm not perfect. Mom makes me perfect, but I'm not perfect. So I want us wives to respect our husbands as Jesus loves the body, us as a church, that we too understand that God put us there to be wives. Not that I'm saying that we don't have the voice, but I want husbands to be, that Jesus said that the husband needs to be first, that because he's after, the man is after Jesus, and then the wife is after the man.
Good point, Mike.
I agree with everything that's been said. Just something to add is cutting people's slack is a great thing. We need to do it, but we need to mean it too. You know, not walk off and say something that acts like you mean it and then hold it inside till it comes out 6 months later. Yeah.
Okay, the can has been opened.
I'd like to share, too, that what really helps me the most is to remember the scripture that says that we are not to, our battles are not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness. So when things happen, I am not going to look at that person. I look to Christ, and knowing that he already defeated the enemy for me, and that I can walk in victory as an overcomer in him. And that it doesn't matter what goes on around me. What matters is what's going on in me. And so that's how I'm able to walk in victory through that, is that remembering it's not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The devil wants to try to destroy your marriage, wants to try to destroy your relationships, but you don't let him do that. You look past the problem and look to Jesus.
It's good to have a really good husband, too.
You and me, Tom. It's good. It's good. All right. Okay, really good stuff. Really good stuff. And you know, there are those of us that have been married a while, like Patty, Billy Sue, and I've been married 34 years now plus, and you know, doing well. And so, and there's others here that are in that realm and further along than that. And then, but we do know, you know, that there's some that are just kind of getting their feet wet here with this thing. And you know, there's a lot of wisdom in the body of Christ among those that have been down the road and gone back down the road and back down the road many times. And so you can gain some good insight through that. Okay, I want to touch, so we talked about the marriage relationship. I do want to touch on a couple of things regarding parenting. Okay. And again, you know, with the idea in mind that we do have some just lots of little kids running around here, and I love that we're obeying the Lord and being fruitful and multiplying, and so that's really good. Let me just say this, and this is something you should remember, and that is that the number one evangelism field that we have is our children. Number one. Okay? I mean, you know, you may think that you've got a ministry to the nations, or you've got, you know, this big, broad, whatever it is that God wants you to do. But in the pursuit of that, don't overlook that what's right in front of you, you know, that definitely has ears to hear. Okay? You have greater influence over those little ones than you have over anybody. Okay? And so let's not lose sight of that. That's our number one evangelistic field. And so, as I talked about Billy Sue, when we pray, we definitely pray for our kids all the time. All the time, and still do. Doesn't matter that they're grown up. Doesn't matter that they're, you know, in their third decade or plus or whatever it is. We still pray. We still pray for them. Okay? We're that generation now, my wife and I. There's not a grandfather out there. We're it. Okay? And so we pray. We pray for our kids. And so there's a list of things here that you can, scriptures that you can use to pray over your kids. These are really good areas that need to be touched on. I mean, the world is a dark place. No secret about that. It's a really dark place, you know, and kids get exposed to it at younger and younger and younger ages, and that exposure is harmful. It's just flat harmful. And so we are the ones, the parents are the ones that are supposed to erect that buffer zone between the world and them. We're the ones that have to bring light into the darkness that they're exposed to. That's our job as parents and as grandparents, to the extent that we have that influence. That's our job. And as our kids get older, it's just the way it is. As our kids get older, their hearing or the desire to hear, whatever it is, seems to grow more and more distant. We have to yell louder. I don't know. We have to do more to get through. I don't advocate yelling, by the way. I don't. You know, I've accomplished way more with my kids by just sitting down and talking to them than I ever did yelling at them. Okay, and that's what you're doing when you're yelling. It's at them. Okay? It's not to them. All right? And so anyway, so what have we done? And I love it that there's so many good examples in this room tonight of parents who've done it right, and their kids are doing well. Randy and Susie Behan, I mean, every one of their kids loves the Lord, every one of them. And you see it in the grandkids coming along, loving the Lord. Now, why is that? I know Randy and Susie both, they love Christian music. And probably that plays more in your house than anything else. So your kids heard that all the time. That's what they listened to. You took them to concerts all the time, exposed them, showed them that there's a lot bigger world out there of people that love the Lord. Okay? And that has a big impact on kids. It does. And you did that over and over and over consistently. I applaud you guys for that because your kids have done well. And it's wonderful. But, I mean, you invested in them in that way. And that's great. That's great. That's a great example. And then Steve and Denise here with their kids. I mean, goodness gracious, the 4-H and all of the various activities that you just linked arms with those kids, said, we're going to do this together. We're going to do this together. And your kids, I mean, they're just like trophies on the wall. They are. You know, this is a Christian family. This is the way it's supposed to look. And they've done a good job. And I can't explain it. I can't explain it. Billy Sue and I, you know, I don't know how many times we've had conversations that went like, how did that happen? You know, how did that happen? I know some of the conversations that my son and I used to have when we're throwing a football back and forth. Just playing catch, doing stuff like that, taking him to wrestling tournaments in Kirksville where he had a bye and didn't even wrestle. You know, it's fun stuff like that. But you have a great opportunity to talk and find out what's going on in their little hearts. You know, and I talk to my kids like they're adults. I do. You know, talking to Natalie when she was 12 years old. What's the Lord doing in your life, Natalie? What's he? And she began to cry because she and I were on this date going out. And she says, I just don't hear from God. I want to hear from God. And I'm not hearing from God. And I said, Natalie, you just keep doing what you're doing. God will speak to you. And he has. And we see it. And we see it, and we know. The scripture, and I'm bringing up these examples because this is the scripture that I want us to look at in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I mean, it's very familiar. Starting, oh my goodness. Anybody got some reading class? And it said, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. Not just when you go to church. Not just in the synagogue, not just when you go to church, not just when we have the fellowship time. In your house, when stuff is going on, and you're just sitting around the dinner table, talk about what God's been doing. Talk about the goodness of the Lord with your kids. I years ago, Billy Sue and I were first married, and I had a job where my salary, and this is all I got, was $13,000. Okay? That was it. At one time, you know, if that was 1950, that might have been okay, but this was 1950. Okay? It's when, you know, it really took $30,000. And we're just praying because there's no groceries. And we're praying with our kids. They're little guys at that time. And pretty soon, who's there? Went to the door. There's somebody with two bags of groceries. I mean, what does that do for a kid? When mom and dad pray about something like that, and then the answer comes, you know, before you've even said almost amen. You know, that makes it pretty real. And I know the people that I've talked about here tonight, that's the reality of how they've allowed their kids to catch what it is that we're trying to convey to them. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you walk by the way. And you can think of it this way: as you're just going about your business with your kids, doing whatever it is you do. By the way, can I talk to you about this? You know, we're just going by the way. We're just on our way to do something, whatever it is. You know, you can bring Christ into that picture pretty easily. I mean, the kids' minds are scattered all over the place anyway, so bringing an abstract thought into the picture is not going to be that big of a deal, really. You know, so while you're just going along, guys, moms, those little ones, bring Jesus into the picture. Help them to see that that's part of your reality. He's as real as they are. Okay. When you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, what God has spoken, what God has said, the word of God, it's preeminent. It's all the time. You know, I mean, it's important. The darkness is coming, folks. I mean, it's out there, and it's creeping in every crack and crevice it can find to get at your kids. And so, you know, you speak the word of God and you use the authority that the Lord has given you as their mom and as their dad to stand against these forces that are coming against your children. Okay? But it's got to be consistent, and it's got to be intentional. It's got to be purposeful. You do all those things, all of the intentional, purposeful stuff, God will do more than his share to make up any lack that you might have there. And then it says, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I mean, sometimes things are just going just pretty doggone good. You know? I mean, not so much anymore. It seems like you don't have to look too far for the bad. But sometimes things can seem just pretty good. And it's easy to forget from whose hand all this goodness came. Don't do that. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. Acknowledge him in everything. Okay, and so it says here in verse, my goodness. I can read the words, I can't read the numbers. It says, when your son asks you in time to come saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. In other words, you're going to be doing all this stuff, I trust. You're going to be talking about God. You're going to be sharing with your kids the things that the Lord has done. And there may come a day when they say, why is this all, we talk about this all the time. What's the big deal? Why do we have to talk about this all the time? Then you can say, you know what? I didn't always talk about this stuff. I used to be lost as that dog we saw running up the alley the other day. That's where I was, eating scraps from wherever I could get them. Dirty, mangy, sick. That's where I was. But Jesus got a hold of me, and he turned my life around. And I owe him everything. That's why I talk about it. That's why I tell you about him all the time. It's important. That's why our life is built. That's why this household is built on the truth of Jesus Christ and who he is. And kids will get it. They'll get it. Okay. So the idea here is that, you know, we don't leave it up to the church. We don't leave it up to the Bible Adventure Hour or the Children's Church or the youth group or whatever it is. Those are all tools that the church brings alongside of the family to help them to be an assist in what we're all doing. Okay, that's the deal. But it's our responsibility, our prime responsibility to teach these kids and to help them to understand. Okay? And it's just along the way. As you're playing catch with the football in the front yard, as you're raking leaves, as you're fishing, as you're working on a car together, as you're baking a cake, as you're sewing something, whatever it is. Did you ever talk about that, Denise, when you were sewing? I bet you did. I bet you did. You know, it's just part of who we are. It's part of who we are. We want it to be part of who they are, a big part. So we do that, okay? And so those are the things that I wanted to share tonight, the ideas of marriage, that we pray and we watch what comes out of our mouths, and then we teach our kids just as we're going along the way, just making it a natural thing, you know, not some big, okay, it is time now for our devotion. You love devotion, don't you? No, I don't think so. Okay, we don't do that. Just as we're going along the way. Just as we're living life. Make Jesus real to them. Okay? Okay, so we have about 15 minutes. Thoughts, ideas, questions, your experience, your whatever you want to share. It'll be good, whatever it is.